This is the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS. Now, Rick Bruce and Lee Cohen. These are a couple of guys that don't even know the meaning of play dead.
It's 9:35, and we're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Kirby, we have with us as a returning guest in the studio, Katie Woodhams, who is the program manager for the Fenner Nature Center. Welcome back to the show, Katie.
Thank you. Thanks. It's great to be here.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you. Katie, for our listeners who might not know, can you explain to them exactly what Fenner Nature Center is and where it's located and all the little details about it?
Sure. You know, I like to call Fenner the hidden gem in Lansing. We've been around for over 50 years. We're on the corner of Mount Hope and Aurelia, so pretty much smack dab in town. But a lot of people don't even know we're there, which I guess is a great thing because it's a wildlife, you know, nature sanctuary. So we have 134 acres right in the city. We do all kinds of environmental education programming, of course, summer camps, but also programs for the public, adult programs, and many of those are free and for families. So anything from bird ID hikes that, you know, members of the Audubon Society will help us lead to, you know, paid programming and things like the camps.
Interesting. And who is the owner of Fenner Nature Center? Is it a private organization or what's the background on that?
We actually have a really interesting relationship. The park has been owned by the city of Lansing since the late 50s, and they still own the property and the building, but it's actually managed by Fenner Conservancy, which is a nonprofit 501c3. So myself and our executive director are employees of the nonprofit, but we actually manage a city park. So it's really cool. It's a very interesting relationship, and we work together very well. Neither of us could really survive without the other, you know, obviously because of budget cuts and whatnot in the park system. So it's a pretty cool relationship, and we get along quite well.
Interesting. So tell me about some of the programs that you've got coming up there or that have taken place so far this year at Fenner so people can get an understanding of what kind of really great things that you guys are actually doing there.
Well, you know, I take pride in trying to do things like think outside the box. So we have some cool programs coming up, and I've been collaborating with a lot of other people, such as Michigan State University professors and students. And in particular, on May 6th, we have what we call Michigan's Most Deadly. And it's a little controversial, I guess. It's a neurobiologist, Dr. Heather Easton from MSU, comes in. She talks about venomous and poisonous things from Michigan, venomous animals in particular. And, you know, she always grabs people's attention because the first one was about Michigan rattlesnake, Massasauga. And people are like, oh, no, you know, she gets all into the details of the venom and how it can kill you and the craziness and how potent that is and gets everybody scared. But then, well, why would we keep an animal like this around? Oh, well, have you ever taken blood thinners? Have you ever taken this medication? Have you, you know, there's so many ways that we can use these animals in nature, you know, for research or just to learn how to take better care of ourselves. So at the end of it, everybody loves rattlesnakes. I mean, how do you do that? So, you know, and we have guest artists come in and teach wildlife painting classes. We've got Great Lakes photography doing different excursions. So there's some different interesting things. But then again, we've got the staples like our Nature Story Hours, the first Saturday of the month. So kids are come for free with their grandparents, parents, whomever, do a story with a volunteer that we have, our resident librarian, and do a craft and things like that. And of course, we have our toddler program. So we definitely have some cool things happening. And it just runs the gamut from toddlers all the way to, you know, like 102. So
right. Well, plus it's a great place to just walk around and really enjoy nature and all of the natural creatures that are there. Talk a little bit about that. What kind of animals do you typically run into if you spend a little bit of time at Fenner?
Well, everybody always talks about the deer and turkey. They're there everywhere. It's their house. We borrow it. And usually right. I have to shoo some tom turkeys away from the front door before I can even get in. So those are probably our most visible aspects of the park. But we have some really cool birds, actually. It's oasis. So the migratory birds right now are coming through. The Audubon Society's leading walks every Saturday morning, and they've seen all kinds of cool things, like they've seen buffalo heads, those really cool ducks. We've got a great blue heron that's a resident. I've seen some kingfishers in the morning. There's some really interesting birds, lots of warblers and bluebirds out there as well. Mm-hmm. So it is an oasis. We've got, you know, of course, Evergreen and Mount Hope Cemetery, and there's Kriegel Park and the zoo around us, and they make this green belt right in the middle of the city that these animals use as a sanctuary.
Right. Well, and it tells me if you've got the herons and the kingfishers there, that there must be lots of water and and lots of fish.
Yeah.
Because having lived on a lake and seeing those birds at dawn almost every morning, they are very active where the fish are. Can people go there and actually go fishing and do things like that?
Well, we have three ponds but in a creek that goes through the park, but we don't allow any fishing.
Okay.
But good news, the Grand River's across the street, so you can definitely go there with a license.
Okay.
But yeah, we don't allow any collecting on the park, and that's hopefully to keep it so that everybody can enjoy what you've seen as well.
Well, and that's the way that we should want it to be, is to keep it where it is. Now, let's talk a little bit about fundraising, because as a 501c3, that has got to be a primary focus of the park, because you got to pay for things. Talk a little bit about what you guys do in order to raise funds for the 501c3.
Yeah, so while programs are a lot of fun and everything, those are, you know, the meat and the potatoes of a nature center. That's not where we get most of our funding from. What we do get our funding from is sponsorships from special events that we hold. You know, we had our first annual Flapjacks for Fenner fundraiser from our Maple Syrup Festival. So a lot of people were kind of qualm about beer and pancakes. They thought that was a strange combo, but we had a pancake supper and we had beer and wine that was local and Michigan brews and whatnot. And it was a huge hit. Live music. So we're looking at doing something similar for our Apple Butter Festival. These are two festivals we've been doing for almost 40 years at the Nature Center, and they've always been free to the public, and we want to keep them that way. So we really look to sponsors for those events to help us offset the cost of throwing them. We had 3,000 people at Maple Syrup Festival.
Wow.
It was insane, right? But then having that fundraising dinner or whatnot as a kickoff really helps us to maintain and be able to do those festivals every year. And of course, like normal nonprofits, we're always writing grants, and you know, the bane of most executive directors' existence is
the grant writing.
But yeah, we definitely, it's much easier to make connections with local businesses, get sponsorships, and build those relationships than having to spend 2 weeks on writing a grant. And it's a lot more fun. You know, Kirby, you and I go out in town and meet all kinds of people all the time, and it's definitely much more fun than me sitting at my desk writing stuff. So, you know, and there's some great, you know, even in-kind donations. Border Water and Light was kind enough to let me borrow some of their water filtration systems for our festival.
Wow.
That was, you know, money I didn't have to go out and then buy water bottles for all the people that had come out for our Earth Day event.
Right.
So things like that, every little bit counts.
Right. Well, and I would imagine that having goodwill from the corporate world around you is an important part of that as well, because it is a way for the city and for the local businesses to really play a role in helping the community as well as helping nature. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, we've been really well supported by a lot of different places. And in particular, for our Earth Day event, we had PNC Bank out there with their mobile learning adventure. You know, they like to focus on kids 5 and under, getting parents and caregivers outside with their kids, getting them to do things other than watching TV and engaging with their kids, you know, of course.
Off the screens.
Off of the screens. And they talk about making everyday moments learning opportunities. So they have this cool mobile adventure that had come out, and they basically unload this trailer and they have activities for kids and their caregivers to do and learning about, you know, what I want to be when I grow up. And they take their picture in a green screen and stuff. And so they were there from PNC and then also brought volunteers to help us restore our butterfly garden. Same thing with Jackson National Life Insurance Company. They brought out 25, 30 volunteers and helped us pull garlic mustard, you know.
Wow.
So, like I said, whether it's an actual sponsorship, you know, of a festival or bringing out, you know, your employees for volunteer day, that's almost more important to me, honestly. Like, I know I need to pay the bills, but I love having the corporations and different local businesses engaged, because then you want to come back,
right?
You know, not just write me a check. Hey, come back and help me in the butterfly garden so that you'll come and bring your kids or your grandkids next time.
Right. Well, it also takes your mind off of the more business oriented focuses and takes people a little bit back to just a simpler life and the beauty that nature can actually provide. And frankly, it's probably very good for the psychology of those people as well to have a little bit of time outside with nature and see the beauty that it provides.
It's definitely a lot more fun. And, you know, every time I get stressed at work, I just try to make time to go for a walk, and I always come back completely refreshed, you know, even if it's just 5 minutes. So I definitely see the impacts of that.
Right. Well, and one of the things that was interesting interesting, and Kirby, I know you were involved with it, was you guys were starting to do yoga and things like that in the park. Talk about different programs that you've got your eyes on or that you're thinking about doing coming up. Anything new and fresh on the horizon?
Well, I think we're definitely going to have to restart the yoga after the end of the summer, because that was definitely, if not relaxing for myself, it was a good opportunity for you, Kirby, to get out and to get into a different environment and do the yoga. But it's really cool to be able to relax and really do some cool stretching and hear the birds in the background. You know, like, where do you get to do that? So hearing all the wildlife, and I know at times they were probably, it was like squawking of birds, you know, so I don't know how relaxing that was, but it was definitely a cool experience. And I've had a lot of requests for parents and kids to do activities together. So for Mother's Day, we're doing plantable paper making workshop. And for Father's Day, we're doing a wilderness survival walkabout. So things that, you know, even adult dads can do with their parents and with their kids. So.
Right.
Yeah, it's been really neat. I've known Katie since I think I was, 9 years old, actually. I've known her for a long time, and it's been very neat and very inspiring to watch her at Fenner over the last year and how much things have blossomed and how much awareness she's brought to. It really is a gem in Lansing. I live right behind it, and we try to get there as much as we can. So I just want to thank you for doing all that you do at Fenner and bringing, you know, that life out in Lansing. So
you're welcome.
Well, and it's really inspiring that it is a great place to go and get a little bit of exercise. I'll never forget when HDTV first came out, there was a program that I saw of people doing Tai Chi up in the mountains in San Francisco, right outside with the Golden Gate Bridge in the background. And I just was thinking to myself, boy, I'm not really a Tai Chi kind of guy, but if you're going to put me in that setting, you could probably motivate me pretty quickly to do something like that. So it's really wonderful that you guys are going through and keeping that nature in place and generating an environment where people can go just to walk around, have lunch, just really take a break in your day. And it's not very far out of the way to have to go. So I guess before we let you go, Katie, if people are interested in information about the upcoming programs and camps, where can people go to get more information about Fenner?
The easiest place is our website, which is mynaturecenter.org. We're taking registrations for our summer camps and our field school, which we're running again this year. I know we talked about last time. And most of our programs you can register online for, or you can call us at 483-4224. Just ask for me and I'll ramble off everything that's happening and get you situated as well.
Fantastic. Well, it sounds like great things are happening at Fenner Nature Center, and we really appreciate it. We've been speaking this morning with Katie Woodhams, the program manager for Fenner Nature Center. And Kirby, after the break, we're going to continue the conversation and talk about a very interesting piece of legislation that's going to be coming up in the state of Michigan that could affect some dog kennels and really change the way some animals are treated in euthanasia, which is kind of a serious topic, but it's one that has to be discussed. So that's where we're going to go right after the break here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com.